o'clock hour of Wildy and Tausch.
Begins now. It will include, for those of you that love Bucks talk, with our Bucks expert Mark Tauscher, along with Justin Garcia from the Bucks Radio Network, our Bucks buddy. That's coming up at the bottom of the hour. All right, look. One of the important things to know about journalism is you're only as good as your sources. And so during the 9 o'clock hour, I am told by a source, Jesse Nelson, that some English woman got
after
you.
Oh, now we're going to give up our sources.
Yes, we're definitely. No,
we'll remember
because,
this one.
Because here's why.
Well, Jesse wasn't even there now, I find
yes,
out. He ain't even there.
Yes. Jesse says, oh, you got to ask Tausch about this. But you weren't even—he wasn't even there. So, what is your what happened allegedly? Because when Tausch was asked about it, I look like an idiot because he has no idea what I'm talking about.
All right. Man. So again, I've heard this information
bad
secondhand
game of telephone
because I wasn't there. But I heard that Tausch had an interesting interaction with a lady from across the pond during the Q&A session on Friday evening at Angel Park during the Packers tailgate tour.
Okay, and what made it interesting, based on what someone told you, that you then passed off as your own information that you'd experienced firsthand, and then later in the same hour you confessed that you didn't go?
So now you want me to tell a story that I heard instead of asking the guy who was there experiencing
it? I want you to jog his memory. Right.
I remember talking. I remember an older British gal ask a question.
Is that her?
Was this sitting by Carla Marlotta there. Yeah.
Yep, that's her.
But I don't remember anything being. I don't remember her insulting me in any sort.
So what I was told. What I was told.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Is you. So you're walking around doing the Q&A thing, kind of holding the mic for everybody and like kind of leading the Q&A portion of this thing.
Kind of disappointed it wasn't the skinny mic like Bob Barker, though.
Yeah, maybe next time. And so this lady, older lady, very nice lady, I'm sure.
Big, epic fail.
Could be.
Feels like it.
She asks her question, and she says it with, an accent from across the pond, like she's from London. And then your response was, oh, you're British. And she said back to you, no, I'm English.
That's all true.
Is that the interaction that took place?
That's all true.
The crowd. I was told
what's
the crowd.
Insulting about that?
I was told the crowd was riled up about it. They're like, ooh, and they laughed at you a little bit.
So Jesse, part of the deal when the Sunshine Place asked me to ask, kind of stir it up a little bit and get it going, was to bring a little energy in the room.
Yeah.
That's part of the whole deal.
You're energetic.
So yes, I could sit there and say, oh, hi, Betsy from blah, blah, blah. But you want to have a little fun with it. She had fun with it. We got a nice reaction from the crowd. And now I'm wondering, well, what else was there? Wasn't anything else. And so what exactly was the gotcha moment or whatever you're trying to get done there?
Well, I wasn't there. I don't know. I thought maybe you would share more about it because
what what happened. And it was fair and it was fun. And then she asked a good question. I think Mark and maybe Mike Daniels, somebody answered it. And we all had a great time. So I don't know what's good or bad about that. Definitely not newsworthy or noteworthy of any stretch.
Okay, can we? This is why we should have occasional show meetings, I think. So
it was the first thing people who were in attendance when I said, "How did it go? How was Tausch?" That was the first thing that they said, which led me to believe it was of note to others, maybe making me think you might have a story.
So
to
if
tell
you really
about
want
it.
To get the of note to others, here's would be the of note of this whole thing. Okay, so Mark Murphy is, Tausch is media, so be careful, which was fun. It was great. I called Mark Murphy out a couple times saying, Mark Murphy just said the Packers Super Bowl or bust. I thought Mark gave a great answer about, I said, Mark, we've been, Title Town has had a certain thing, Even you would admit last year was way above expectations. And he went on and said, yeah, absolutely. I think we all were hoping that things were going to be good, but we didn't. I don't think anyone anticipated us having the success that we had, but now it's Super Bowl or bust. So not that that's going to be some moniker that's going to be used, but the of note thing that happened, a little birdie comes in my ear about halfway through the Q&A and said, hey, Brian Bulaga's parents are here. And I said, oh, does Brian know? Nobody knew that Brian's parents were there, so we called up Bulaga's parents. Big warm hug up on stage. Everybody was good. You know, everybody went crazy. That would be the part that I think was probably more newsworthy than some British chick telling me that she's English.
Wait, Brian knew his parents were there, right?
I think barely. They surprised him. Did not know until day of that they were coming up.
And just to be clear, Mark in Sun Prairie texts in and says that the British lady is my mum, Janice. Well, first of all, does that mean Mark is also inaccurately portraying his mum? Because I thought she was English.
Oh, but nobody thought this was interesting. Oh,
Jesse, I
well, it's his I mom, for God's sake. Mark is going to find it because it's his mom.
I appreciate your attempt to contribute, but it would. I do wish that I had known beforehand that you weren't at the event.
Yeah, he literally stuffed his face with Buck and Honey's firecracker shrimp.
Oh, that's good.
Something new, which I haven't seen. Sliders that are brats.
Brat sliders were amazing.
Brat sliders.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
So how did
and
you...
most of the Packer players in awe of Tommy and Buck and Honey's cheese curds. So these are the best cheese curds in town. We made sure to give Tommy a shout out during the Q&A part of that as well.
All right. So I want to get ready for Justin Garcia to join us, but the question that I had is, A, when was this picture taken? This picture had to have been taken at Buck and Honey's then, because you weren't at the Angel Park event. And
that's
B,
this one. Yes, you're all right. Yes.
Am I missing Tausch, or is he taking the picture?
Tausch notably absent from this picture, which seemed like a great moment he would want to be part of, you would think, when you've got Packers players, current and former, plus ESPN Madison teammates. Feels like something Tausch would want to be part
Two
of,
Two types
you would
of
think.
Tausch teammates.
Yeah, where was he?
Where I didn't know there was a picture being taken. So I was.
How did you not? We were there for 5 minutes.
It was with Janice. They were talking about London.
They got the entire group together, and they're like, "Hey, here, take this great photo," and they get us all together, and then they start making like the big announcement for the entire VIP session of like, "Here's what we're doing," all this stuff. We're sitting there for like 4 minutes waiting for the announcement to get done to take the picture. Just stand it, and you can't get like out of it and like walk away because you got all these props and everything they have us holding. So we were there for a very long time. Kind of on you if you missed that we were doing a photo. We were there for 4 hours.
Right. This is getting a little combative. All right, last question here, because I want to move on, because I saw someone steal Tausch's idea for the NBA, guy from The Ringer. I'm sure he didn't know he was stealing it from Tausch, but I want to get to that before we get to Justin Garcia. Jesse, you, first of all, this whole exchange has been awkward on the show, but you said that you finally met Brian Bulaga in person and that it was awkward?
Yes.
How does that happen, and what happened?
So one of the main reasons that I wanted to go to this thing was I wanted to make sure that I introduced myself to Bulaga, because we've been working together for like a year on this show now, and we had never met each other in person. I wasn't able to get up to the Chargers game when he was in Green Bay, and that was the only time he's been around to actually like meet him face-to-face.
Sure.
So they walk in like midway through the hour that they come into Buck and Honey's, and a lot of the players are kind of hanging out doing their thing. There's all the kids and the fans are coming up for autographs and all the fun pictures, and it's like, okay, like I don't want to bother. I don't want to, you know, skip the line of a bunch of kids to be able to say, hey, Brian, it's Jesse Nelson, Wildy and Tausch. So I walked over one time thinking he was free. It turns out there was a bunch of people in line to talk to him. I'm like, okay, I'm going to walk back, not going to do anything there. So everybody that was with us was laughing at me like, oh, it's like a middle school dance. You're trying to go ask the girl you want to dance with you. It's like every time you go over there, you get scared and you come back. The second time I walked over, it was like all the players were in a circle kind of talking to each other. And I didn't want to go up and like tap him on the shoulder in the middle of a conversation all the players are having. And I didn't want to disrupt that. And so I walked back again. So then Bulaga comes over to the corner, and I don't know if he was getting a drink or what the deal was, but he was by himself at the bar. I'm like, hey, this is my chance. I gotta go catch him real quick. So I walk up, and he was autographing a helmet that they had, one of the helmets that we had in this picture, if you're watching on the video stream. And my opening line, I kind of like, oh, I gotta say something funny to him, make sure I make a good impression. So I walk, and the first thing I said was, oh, are you signing that thing, Iowa Sucks, or what? And I don't think he realized, because he hadn't turned around to see that it was me, and he kind of gave me like the half chuckle, like, yeah, and then he turned around, then he noticed pretty quick that it was me, and then he's like, oh, okay, hey, how's it going? And like, it was bad. It was not good.
Well, so other than the firecracker shrimp and the brat sliders that you got from Buck and Honey's, one would argue that most of, after the show ended, after Mo met the Tauscher family, it was pretty much all downhill other than the food for you? You didn't go to the event?
For me, yes.
Awkward with Brian?
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right.
Poor introduction to my buddy Blue. Yeah.
Okay.
It was tough.
We appreciate your efforts. Let's move on. That's Brian.
What else you got?
Someone's going to have to explain to me what went on in the NBA yesterday, because by the end of the day, there were people suggesting that Tausch's idea on how to pick matchups needs to be enacted. We'll talk about that next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
You're listening to Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella at 855-PELLA-WI or visit online at PellaWI.com/radio.
That while at times we disagree, I very rarely flat out poo-poo you.
I'd agree with that.
Yep. Okay. And this has been something that I have always said, the NFL will never do this.
Never's a long time, but I would say it's probably not going to happen.
Right.
But
that is what I have said. I may be wrong about that someday. But in the National Basketball Association, we've heard of the Marshall Plan, the Tauscher Plan for playoffs. This is one of, I would argue, your best out-of-the-box ideas ever. Now, that covers a lot of ground. You're an idea guy. You thrive on enthusiasm, as we learned in Wedding Crashers, which I'm waiting for the Tauscher children to watch with their dad. But your idea was you should be able to choose your own adventure, choose your own opponent for the playoffs. And someone from The Ringer yesterday, after the way the NBA's final day played out, and Jesse, help me understand this. The Bucks did not want the number 2 seed, so they didn't try to beat
Orlando. Yeah, that's what many are speculating. They didn't want the matchup with the Sixers or the Heat. They would rather play Indiana.
I don't think they're beaten a bit. Did they play everybody yesterday? Did Dalla Dane play?
I didn't watch much of the game, so I don't know off the...
All right, we'll wait for JG.
Yeah.
Chris Middleton I saw played. Bobby Portis played. Giannis the only one didn't play. So how do we know they didn't tank the game yesterday? They got their butts kicked.
113-88 was the final in Orlando.
So when we say things like that, when you're tanking, you sit your players.
Damian Lillard played 30 minutes. He was 2 of 14 from the floor.
Yeah, he stunk.
So he did play.
Bad day to take his more in Prize Picks, which I did yesterday.
He just did not play well. Chris Middleton played 31 minutes. He was 6 of 15. As Tausch mentioned, Giannis did not play again as they hoped to get him
just
back.
Before we get to JG, so are we sure they tanked?
JG that. because I also was at the Celtics game, and when there are as few free throws as were attempted in that game, what was it, last Tuesday? It felt like those teams were sort of playing. I'm not saying it was like the All-Star game, but it was not like if a guy had a free lane to the basket, no one was doing anything about it in that game. I don't think one team didn't shoot a free throw at all. The other team shot like a couple.
So you're saying Boston tanked.
I'm saying that they played many of their guys, but they did not play as hard as they would had it been a playoff game. And I'm wondering if that's what happened yesterday in Orlando. We'll ask JG that. The point that I want to get to, though, is, look, if you're going to do this to try and manipulate the standings, the Bucks basically gave the Knicks the number two seed. Right? On purpose. Or somewhat on purpose.
Guys, you just went through. They played their guys.
I understand. I'm going to ask this, but that is the feeling that many have. Then there were other games that were very lopsided games where other teams did not, whether the Bucks did or not, there were other teams that appeared to not try at all because they wanted a specific seed. They wanted a specific matchup. Now, one of the other things I want to ask JG when he joins us shortly is why do you want the matchup with the team that beat you 4 out of 5 if that's what happened yesterday, right? Because Indiana kind of had their number all season. So there are layers to this.
The Bucks without Giannis aren't good enough to determine, oh, we can do this, we can do that. So I think all of this is hogwash. All of it.
Hogwash or not, my point is that what happened throughout the league, including the way the Bucks loss was viewed, prompted people to suggest the Tauscher plan, which would motivate teams to get the highest seed so then they could pick their opponent and they would have the first pick. And so if the Bucks win and the Knicks win and the Cavaliers end up as the fourth seed and they have the last pick of the matchups, then they get stuck with the Sixers, potentially, with Joel Embiid back. This was your idea. I had never heard anyone suggest this before you. Had you heard anyone else suggest this before you did, what, 3-4 years ago you came up with this idea?
I have not.
So, could you see this being done in the NBA? Because we agree it's highly unlikely in the NFL.
I think they're more open-minded to stuff like this and more intrigued by the entertainment of it. But, everybody's saying how great the NBA is today. I think you should look at it the exact opposite. The fact that you're in this position and tanking and losing games by 30 and doing this, you had 10 teams that are jockeying for position. You don't know where they're at. I don't think that's good. I think that tells you that people, how they value regular season basketball games is bad. And I think this, for everyone raving about how the women's game, the numbers have skyrocketed, and the men's game had a great run, let's take a look at what the NBA's numbers did this season. And the fact that people bought big-time tickets to come to the Lakers-Bucks, and LeBron decides to not play, even though he plays the day before and 2 days after. So, and the same thing happens when Wembanyama go to a Spurs game. Wembanyama didn't play. And I can just go out. The list goes on and on. The NBA's got some issues they better start addressing because they have basically made their regular season completely blah. And if you don't believe me, watch what you just saw the last month of the season.
So it was Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer, and what he said was, it should matter that the Knicks beat the Bulls while the Bucks lost and the Cavs had no interest in winning to get the second seed. Now many Knicks fans are disappointed they will end up with the Heat or the Sixers from the play-in tournament. This makes no sense. It doesn't have to be this way. Winning should be all that matters. And here's the most interesting thing he wrote. The NBA used to allow G League teams to choose their playoff opponent. As far as I know, that's the only time I've seen that mentioned with an American team league. Maybe they do that in European soccer or something else that I don't know about. Cricket, whatever, you can bet, you can pick that on Prize Picks from what I understand. But here's how he outlined it. So the Celtics would have the first pick, they'd pick the Magic. The Knicks, who won, would have the second pick. They would have the they would choose the Pacers. The Bucks would then be stuck with who's left. They would choose the Heat, who eliminated them last year. And then the Cavs would end up facing Joel Embiid and the Sixers. And it would create more rivalries. It would create more interest. This is all stuff you've said before.
Mm-hmm.
So my question, again, and we'll ask JG this next, can you see the NBA doing this? Because I think, I thought it was a good idea when you suggested it. I didn't think the Packers or the NFL would ever do it. But the NBA, they have a play-in tournament. They have a mid-season tournament now. They do seem to be a little more willing to try different ideas. And if they tried it with the G League, the Tauscher plan could actually be instituted. And then you would have teams trying their hardest to end the year because they want to be able to pick as high as possible to choose their own opponent.
I would agree. And it should be implemented, and I think the NBA might seriously take a look at it. Whether or not there's still too many variables with the play-in and everything else. The play-in is the one thing that the NBA has gotten right. I love the fact that the Lakers have to play the Pelicans, and now people are saying they should tank so they don't have to play the Nuggets. Anytime you're getting in a position where it's advantageous to tank, when you're talking about seeding and playoffs, something has gone very, mm-hmm. very wrong mm-hmm. with how your league is being run.
Mm-hmm. You're right. That's the first thing I thought when I saw this. The other thing I thought, I was looking at my phone because Sid and I were at Quick Trip. We were grabbing smoothies on our way home from going to run some errands. And I thought, you know what? If I get to $15 with this purchase, I get a 15 cents off per gallon reward from my Quick Rewards.
It's baseball season, so it's time for me and for you to take a Quick Trip to the ballpark. For every $200 you spend at Quick Trip with Quick Rewards, you'll earn a free ticket to a Brewers game of your choice. That's right, big savings and free Brewers tickets. Visit the Quick Rewards app, click on the Fan Zone button on the app's home screen to opt in, and you can start redeeming your tickets. You can redeem up to 6 Brewers tickets at a time. And who doesn't want to go to a Brewers game for free using your Quick Rewards? Get these Brewers points from Quick Reward in addition to Quick Rewards visit. You can double the points and double your happiness. Blackout dates and upgrade fees may apply. Just go to quicktrip.com/ballpark to learn more.
Our friend Justin Garcia from the Bucks Radio Network joins us next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Milwaukee Bucks, green and growing, better each year.
About the Milwaukee Bucks, we go to the source. You hear him on every Bucks broadcast. His color analysis, his pregame, his postgame, Bucks talk, Bucks House, the real estate show that's still in the works. It is our Bucks buddy, Justin Garcia. Justin, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing pretty good overall, I suppose.
All right, we've got too much NBA playoff discussion that we can't take a tour of your shoe collection like I was hoping to at some point. So we'll have to save that for one of the days the Tausch is out and you're doing the show from Nike Central. Help me understand. Were the Bucks interested in winning their last game and getting the number 2 seed, or were they less than enthusiastic about that possibility?
It seemed like they were playing to win that game. They played everybody they had. Doc Rivers said before the game there was going to be monitoring of minutes, which we didn't really see come into play until the fourth quarter when the game was out of reach. But this was not what we saw with Cleveland, where the Cavaliers inexplicably just punted the game and said, we're fine with being fourth and on the same side of the bracket as the Celtics. They seemingly were playing to win. It was really just a disastrous second quarter that doomed them.
So now they end up with the Pacers as their matchup as the three seed. Is this good news, bad news, doesn't matter news unless Giannis is healthy enough to play news? Because they, correct me if I'm wrong, they lost 4 of 5 to the team they are now matched up with.
That is correct. I think it is more of the latter in what you just said there is we don't know what Giannis's status is, and that's ultimately going to determine any of these matchups and how far the Bucks will go. I will say this. I think given the options that the Bucks had, if you don't have Giannis for, let's say, at least the start of this series and potentially all of this series, which is a very real possibility, I think the Pacers are a better alternate than possibly going up against the 76ers or to a lesser extent the Miami Heat. I understand why Bucks fans are still very worried about them, but it is a very different team than they were a season ago. I think the ultimate scenario that frightened everyone is Joel Embiid is back. He looks very good. And if you don't have Giannis, this is going to be a massive challenge.
Yeah, is there anybody right now in the East that you feel great about matching up with the way the Bucks are playing?
You don't feel great, certainly. And look, that's the weird part about this year. Damian Lillard kind of joked about it after the game, is that anybody can beat anybody. I think really the Celtics are the only team in the Eastern Conference that say, we feel like we're going far. We feel like we're good. And even that, you know, that could get interesting. As we said, the Bucks fear in any team's fear, clearly Cleveland's fear of the 76ers being the 7th seed. What if they lose that first game and they're the 8th seed and you have Philadelphia versus Boston in the first round? That this year, I think if that's the scenario, you're going to have all four series where the underdog is saying, we think we're going to win this series.
Mm-hmm. That, so when you see how things shook out yesterday and some, you know, you mentioned Milwaukee gave it a run, tried to beat Orlando, understanding it. The Knicks found a way to win and get to the 2 seed. The fact that there is this much jockeying and not tanking, but lack of effort into winning games to me is a bad sign for the league. What do you do about it?
I heard your guys' discussion before. I don't know that there's really anything you can do about it. I think that option that Kevin O'Connor pointed to, and you guys kind of alluded to this too, I'm not going to say impossible. It is highly unlikely because of the play-in tournament. There is no way around that, where if you're saying, okay, you choose who you want and waiting to do this draft until the very last minute after all of that has been decided, that is logistically impossible when you're mapping out 16 arenas and working around an NHL schedule and everything else. So I get the rationale behind that. I don't think it's a possibility in terms of what you do. I think the league would say overall they feel good about what they've done because of the play-in tournament. I get what it's done to the top half of the bracket, but it's put more interest and more spark in those teams that are outside of that we have seen a more competitive nature. And I think that really was one of the two challenges. This has been part of it for years. When you think back to, we saw it a lot more in the Western Conference where it was bunched up and you had a number of teams with a similar record where you'd go into that final weekend and you would say, okay, maybe it's better if we actually lose this game. Hasn't been as common in the East because it's been very top heavy in years past. But the other big issue was, you know, what are we doing with the last 10 teams in the league that this is basically creating meaningless games, half of your schedule every night? And that's changed somewhat because of the play-in tournament. So I think overall they'd say, look, we've addressed part of it and we're happy with that.
And let's not forget the Heat were in the play-in tournament last year. I understand all their struggles earlier in the year, et cetera, and injuries, whatever. But We saw what they did last year in the playoffs. Let me ask you this. So take away the logistics, because your point is well taken, right? There's a bunch of NBA teams that share arenas with NHL teams, all those issues. The idea of actually picking your opponent, I don't want to sound like Tausch, but it is sexy. Like, it does. I really do like the idea and what the ancillary benefits would be. Do you agree with that? And do you see, logistics aside, would it be good for the league if you could pull it off?
I would be all for it if you can pull it off. I do agree with that. I don't think the teams and players would agree with that because of the inverse and what that would create of, oh, so you think you can beat us.
Right.
Especially when you think about that draft process and going one by one where the top four
intriguing?
Seeds you get the draft.
It is
to the fans. It is to the fans.
And the players,
I don't know
too.
How intriguing it is
JG,
to the
these guys love having little chips on their shoulders, and they love being able to jar at each other. Yes.
The players do,
they're
sure.
Petty. This
sure.
is a petty group. This is a petty
the organizations,
group.
Kind of like
though,
this show.
In the front office. Yeah.
Can you stick around, or do you have to, like, shine up your shoes?
No, I can stick around.
All right. More with our friend Justin Garcia. More insights. I did not realize Dame's stat line from yesterday. I'm wondering if I should be concerned about that. We will ask Justin that and more as we roll on with our Bucks buddy Justin Garcia. It's Wildy and Tausch.
You're listening to Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
Bucks buddy Justin Garcia, as the Bucks have their matchup. They do not have to wait for the play-in tournament results. I guess that's a positive, except for the fact that the Pacers beat them 4 out of 5. Justin, two things. One, does it help that at least they know who they're playing? Is that an advantage, or would you rather play a lower seeded matchup and have to wait?
I mean, it helps some. It's very helpful that, you know, it's not waiting until Friday like you did last year as the one seed and waiting for the second play-in tournament game. I know that there's more prep that goes into it and that you can kind of take it team by team and say, we know it's going to be one of these two teams, and half of your staff and video coordinators are going through that. The other half is going through the other team. But it is easier to just say, okay, we know it's this team. Let's get started on that. And look, familiarity, too, with the team. That you've played them 5 times, you referenced, you lost 4 of those. But these are also 2 very different teams since the last time that they played. All of those games were played in the first 60 days of the regular season. January 3rd was the last time they played. So the Bucks have a new coach. They've made some changes. Pacers are down some big personnel pieces. Benedict Mathurin's out for the season. Buddy Hield was traded. You didn't face Pascal Siakam in any of those games, so that is the other part of it. But they're just 2 very different teams.
Damian Lillard's stat line yesterday, in 30 minutes and 23 seconds, he made 2 of 14 shots from the floor. He was 0 for 4 from three-point range, 12 of 13 from the free throw line, 16 points. Plus minus, he was minus 8. It is. I know. I don't think the watch has been delivered. I don't know if there was a Joe Katz meeting or not, but it is. It's Dame time. Dame time. Are you a little bit concerned that clock is not running like a fine Swiss timepiece?
I mean, you certainly have elevated concern, because this was yesterday's stat line, the 6th time this season that Damian Lillard made less than 20% of his shots in a game. He did it 1 time last year with the Portland Trail Blazers, 6 times this year, 11 times that he shot worse than 30%. And look, it's not as though he's going to knock down 50-plus% of his shots and be superhuman. But I think a lot of the thought was, okay, we expect the numbers to take a backseat, the aggregated, the county numbers, to move back a little bit because of Giannis. But because of Giannis, the efficiency is should be elevated. That's what we've seen with Giannis this mm-hmm. season. You just haven't seen it with Dame. And in fairness, it has been a bigger adjustment for Dame than it has for Giannis. It may be unfair to put that pressure on him, especially as we don't know the availability of Giannis. But the reality is the Bucks are not going to go far with or without Giannis if that is what you're consistently getting from Damian Lillard, because you tailored this team to be more of an offensive team than a defensive team. So if your defense is what it's been under Doc Rivers, which is just better than league average, if your offense is elite, that should be good enough. It just has not been consistently elite since Doc took over. I will say this, though. It just, as I said, it's unfair to keep those expectations on Dame. A lot of the discourse that's taking place about Doc Rivers is extremely unfair when you're pointing to the record and saying, well, they were 30-13 when they made this change, and now they're below 500 under Doc. They had a much more difficult schedule. They played more road games than home games. They had 16 games without Chris Middleton. They had Dame and Brooke Lopez out of the lineup. They closed the season without Giannis. So it's not a like-for-like comparison, but the point remains, you need Damian Lillard to be closer to the guy that he was in Portland than what we've seen throughout the regular season if this team's going to go far.
Are we going to get that?
That's the million-dollar question. I think, look, if you're optimistic, these are Dame's moments, right? When you look at the biggest memories you have of Damian Lillard, it's in these spots. And granted, he hasn't had as much because of the team's success in Portland, but this is where he's been at his best. And, you know, that's the thing, too, is the Bucks are a super team. As much as we may not want to acknowledge it, if you got Giannis and Dame, you're a super team. And the reason for super teams is what the Bucks are in right now. If one star goes out, you got this other guy to kind of prop up the rest, and that's the pressure and expectations that are going to be on Dame, and to a lesser extent, Chris Middleton and Bobby Portis and Brooke Lopez. But Dame's the biggest name in that group, so that's what you're expecting from him moving forward here.
All right, so we get that, but I saw Shams had a report out on Giannis that it's very much up in the air for game one for Giannis. If you had a guess, and I know you're a journalist, how much or
he's an
of
analyst.
All will Giannis? How much, if at all, will Giannis play in this first series?
All right. Not to take a cop out approach, I really have no idea.
God.
It's the same as.
Yes!
But I'll add a caveat.
This is like me with the center question to start the show. I love it.
It's the same as yesterday when I was asked by a few people, "Where do you think the Bucks are going to finish?" and said, "You know, honestly, I have no idea because of all the moving pieces that are in play here, but my inclination is one of these teams will win and maybe the Bucks and the other don't. So I think they're going to finish third," was my thought going into yesterday.
Yeah, you nailed it.
Nailed it.
We have no idea. I think he's going to miss, and again, this is reckless speculation.
That's
I think he's
going to
miss at least half of the series. I think he's going to miss half the series, maybe more. I mean, this is a serious injury. And look, I get that calves, hamstrings, all of it is different for everybody. But I think the trap that Bucks fans may be setting up for themselves is, well, Giannis is a quick healer, and look at what he did in the 2021 finals. It's just not the same every time.
Right.
And, you know, sooner or later, that health reserve runs dry. You can't keep reaching in there and relying on that. I think you have to approach this thinking he is going to miss this series, even if he comes back, and just say, how do we tailor our game plan to beat the Pacers without Giannis? The good thing is first round series do take longer than any other series because of TV and the amount of teams that are playing and how they spread it out. So if you can get through Indiana without Giannis, which again, you should be able to do, that could buy him even more rest. And the hope is he's ready for the late stretch of the postseason, because that's the one benefit of yesterday. Yeah, you didn't get the 2 seed. Maybe that's good in that if it's Philly, you don't have to face Philly. But you avoided the Celtics half of the bracket, so you prolonged that even more to where you would face them. It would only be in the conference finals, and by then the hope is he is back and he is as close to, if not fully healthy.
And you told us that repeatedly, how important it was to avoid the Celtics as long as you could, and they did succeed on that. All right, last thing for you before we let you go. And you know what high regard I have for you. You make my ballet commute.
Here it comes, JG. You know he's coming with something.
I'm not, actually. What did I do wrong now? No, not at all, actually. It's not that. It's that I'm going to put you in a tough spot where I don't know if you know the answer to this. But I appreciate you accompanying me for all my Milwaukee drives. I love Bucks talk. I love your avid callers, the same ones that call every post-game show. I enjoy all of it. So I don't mean to put you on the spot. But do you know the number of games this season, because I don't, that Giannis, Damian Lillard, and Chris Middleton all played in the game together? Because this is part of why I don't know what to expect from this team. In addition to Giannis's injury, your big three, like, this isn't Ray, Big Dog, and Sam Cassell, light it up, where they played together all the time. This is not, you bring in a new guy and he hasn't played, they haven't all three played together nearly as much as the Bucks would want. Agreed?
100%. And again, that's the lens you have to view the whole Doc Rivers record and everything else under is the Bucks not only had an easier schedule, one of the easiest in the league, those first 40 plus games, they were also very fortunate with their health. I know we talked about it on this show too. Like, man, Giannis has played 17 consecutive games, and the amount of games that Giannis and Dame missed for the first 2.5-3 months of the season, it was three total. So you had all of those guys together for an extended period. The only injury the Bucks really had to deal with was Jay Crowder for those first 3 months of the season. It all shifted. I don't know how much it was season as a whole. It was a significant chunk early in the season, but since Doc Rivers took over, it's been, I believe, 6 games that you've had that trio on the floor together. And it was, you know, up until Chris recently returned, it was just 110 minutes that you had those guys on the floor together.
Less than ideal. All right. We will see how it plays out. Stay by your phone and by your shoe rack, because I'm sure we'll be calling again soon. Thanks, buddy. We appreciate you.
I can go down the street and leave that watch at Joe Katz. I'm just afraid somebody else is going to claim it and Tausch.
You have to hold off. I don't know. My next Joe Katz appearance might be a while.
Wonder if Spree got one yet.
He's got his own watch. Never mind. All right, JG, we appreciate you, buddy. Thanks.
All right. See you guys.
If this plays out the way we hope it will, I'm really eager to see what they can do in the second round. But they have to get there. And I don't think any of us, including Justin, the way he sounded, are uber confident that that's what's going to
happen. I feel much more confident than I thought I would.
Really?
The matchup, how it played up. Yep.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that Justin could help you with that. Associated Bank can help you with your banking, just like Justin helped us with our expectations. And if you're a Packers fan, there's no better place to be than Associated Bank. Go to AssociatedBank.com/Packers to find out more about Packers checking, which gets you a 10% discount at the Packers Pro Shop in-store and online, gets you that nifty Packers debit MasterCard, and gets you the best customer service in the industry. Go to AssociatedBank.com/Packers to find out more. The 11 o'clock hour kicks off in 2 minutes, so stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.